Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill, former representative in a Florida State House, District 1, that's in Escambia County, Pensacola. I am sitting in for Dr. Gene Youngblood, who is still experiencing a family situation where his son has been admitted into the hospital. And we all need to have your prayers. Pray for Dr. Youngblood, his son, Gene, and for their family. This has been going on for just over 2 weeks now, and I have been getting almost daily updates from Dr. Youngblood, and we have seen some miraculous things happen when it comes to his son and how he has recovered, and then he might have a little relapse and things aren't looking so well. And then we pray fervently, and all of a sudden things turn around and his son is doing better, much better. The last report that I received was that they're looking at removing him from a ventilator, removing him from the sedation that he was on, and getting him back to his family. So please continue to pray for Dr. Gene Youngblood and for his family. And I would also encourage you to pray for our nation. What we have seen happening just over the past week is unbelievable. Unbelievable what we are seeing happening in this nation. And right now, everyone's attention seems to be focused on the utter disaster that we saw happening in Afghanistan as the Biden administration pulled out the troops first before doing a proper evacuation, putting many Americans and Afghanis who were sympathetic and helping the Americans and the other nations while they were there, putting their lives at risk. And not only that, other nations that were there with us, NATO nations, Great Britain, France, Australia, and others, also putting them severely at risk. It is a total fiasco. And to have Biden go on TV yesterday and say that everything is going according to plan is laughable at best, and at worst is something that I believe he should be impeached for. I said it. Joe Biden should be impeached. He has proven himself to be ineffective, inept, and totally corrupt at what he is doing as a president. And all of those who are around him, his administration. Oh, by the way, did you know that most of that administration that Biden has are nothing more than retreads from the Obama administration? They brought many of the same people over with them, including our Secretary of Defense, who, by the way, I think should resign and step down. He is responsible also for what is going on in Afghanistan. The Secretary of State, Blinken, also came from the Obama administration, and what a disaster he is. Everything that this administration touches has been an utter and complete disaster. We have seen it with what's going on at our border. We have seen it when it comes to trying to fight COVID. We have seen it in that he wants to join some terrible planning that was in place before the Paris Accord, and and the Trans-Pacific Partnership and all the failed features of the Obama administration, which President Trump then was able to remove, and we saw the effects of that. The nation was prospering like crazy. Now Biden wants to put back in place everything that Obama did, everything that failed, and remove anything that Trump did. By the way, anything that Joe Biden saw could be counted as a win for Trump, he got rid of, even if it was doing well. A good example of that is the XL pipeline. First of all, Obama blocked the pipeline, would not let it happen. When I was a member of the Florida State House, I was a member from 2013 to 2016 in District 2, and then in District 1 from 2018 to 2020. When I was in during my first term in District 2, I submitted a resolution that was sponsored in the Senate. It passed both the Senate and the House. It was sent to the Obama administration demanding that he open the XL pipeline, the Keystone Pipeline. He didn't do it at that time, but we as Floridians made a statement that it needed to be done. So when Trump got in office, he did that. And what was the results? We became, for the first time in a long time, so energy efficient that we were not dependent on foreign oil or gas at all. In fact, we became exporters of oil and gas. And we saw the effect of that at the gas pumps. The price of gas dropped down to, here in Florida, there were times when it dropped below a dollar. It was sitting around 99, 98 cents. Most of the time, though, it was around 119, 120, somewhere around there. And then we have Biden, who did not want to give Trump a win, had no justification whatsoever to remove the ability to use that XL pipeline and shut it down, destroying thousands of jobs in the process. Had no justification for it. He tried to use some lame excuse about the environment, but we all know that was just a lame excuse. The only thing he was trying to do is to prevent Trump from having a victory. And then we saw the result of it. Gas prices shot up like crazy. In some places in the U.S., it is over $5 now. Here in Florida, at least in the Pensacola area, it is sitting around 305, 307, even though in some places we can find it as low as 183, 185, which is really interesting when you think about it. In the same town, the same city, Pensacola, we can find at many service stations gas at 305. And then not even 20-minute drive away, we can see gas for $1.85. So if you know one place can sell it for $1.85 and make a profit, why on earth would another place sell it for $3.05? The answer is because they can, and they can make a bigger profit. But that's why we have free market competition here in America, where we don't have to go to the places that only have $3.05 a gallon. We can go to $1.85. And in fact, every time I go to get gas now where it's $1.85, there's a long line, but at least it gets done. And that is what is so good about being an American. One of the things is that this nation was founded on free market capitalism. Free market capitalism says that if I produce a product and enough people want it and I sell it to them at a reasonable price, then I'm going to make a profit so much so that I will have savings, be able to invest that savings in other things and produce more things, and everyone benefits from it. This, when you try it the other way, socialism or communism, where just a few people up at the top try to make decisions for everyone, history has proven that it fails every time. And not only past history, but present history, we can see where Communism is an absolute and utter failure in places like Cuba, Venezuela, North Korea, and yes, let me say Communist China. The reason why Communist China right now seems to be such an economic powerhouse, and I would venture to say that it actually is not. It is a house of cards. The only reason why China seems to be an economic powerhouse right now is because of the deals that were put in place going all the way back to the Clinton administration and then the Bush administration, then the Obama administration, where they allowed China to steal us blind, all with the hopes of if we give them enough of our money, trillions of dollars we're talking about, if we give them enough of our money that perhaps the people there will see that capitalism is a good thing and that they will become a capitalist nation, rise up and throw off their communist dictators. But that's not how it works, folks. The Communist Chinese Party has proven that they have no hesitation at killing their own people. And we're talking millions of people. They will kill them in order to stay in power. And what they did was they stole from America blind. And without the American economic engine, that is a consumer, China would collapse in a week. If you look at most items that you purchase, I don't care from what store, but let's just say one of the big box stores, you look on the bottom of it, it says made in China. So if we stopped purchasing things from China, they would collapse in less than a week. It is the American consumer that is holding up the Chinese economy right now, who have made it no secret that they want to become the dominant world power. And all the money that they have stolen from us, trillions of dollars, because they do that. They send spies over here who will look at our manufacturing, who will look at our technology, who will look at our ingenuity. They will then take it back to China, copy it, and sell it at a, first of all, an inferior product and at a lower price. Then they will encourage and entice businesses to come over there and set up manufacturing plants. And to their shame, many companies did, including some of our auto manufacturers went over there during the Obama administration. Trump put a stop to that. He also put a stop to those automakers closing our plants in America and going down to Mexico, not only for automaking, but for AC and a number of other manufacturing plants. Trump put a stop to that. And what we saw as the benefit was a economic boom in America, jobs, prosperity, and a superior product being made. I was at a conference once out in, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to join the conversation, I would encourage you to. The number is 904-831-0917. Again, 904-831-0917. So if you would like to call in, please do join the conversation. I know some of you have called in already. Please call back and go ahead and join this conversation. Now, as I was saying, we're seeing so many things that are happening in our nation right now, which can be utterly unbelievable. But let me tell you this, folks, do not take your eye off the ball. What is the ball right now? The ball is the election fraud that we saw took place in those 2020 elections. Do not take your eyes off of that. With the audits that are being performed in Arizona, it is being proven that widespread fraud was all over the place. And now that's being spread to Pennsylvania, Georgia, Wisconsin, Michigan. We can see that there is widespread fraud that is taking place. And amazingly, I'm just shocked at this, we have Republicans like in the Senate president in Pennsylvania, who is refusing to conduct an audit in Pennsylvania, even though there's evidence of fraud that took place in Pennsylvania. Why is he doing this? I have no idea. Must be something that he is trying to protect, or perhaps he was paid some kind of way. I'm not saying that it was paid money directly to his pocket, perhaps a promise that was made for a campaign or a future office that he wants to hold. I'm just speculating there, but I cannot understand why on earth a Republican Senate president in Pennsylvania would not want to have an audit performed in that state when it is obvious to everyone that there was fraud that took place during that election in Pennsylvania. Don't take your eyes off of that, people. Also, don't take your eyes off of what we are seeing happening with this COVID vaccine. I'm going to say it here, and I'm going to say it many times. I did not take the vaccine, and I am not going to take the vaccine. And I would encourage anyone who is listening to this show to not take the vaccine. It has been demonstrated through the CDC VAERS system. That's where you report injuries or deaths that have happened because of taking a vaccine or some sort of immune shot. You can report what happens, adverse effects. And we know that the number of deaths that have happened because of that vaccine is over 10,000. I'm hearing numbers as high as 15,000. Now, typically in the past, when a vaccine has caused as many as 50 deaths, that the CDC will stop it. The FDA says you can no longer use that vaccine. We are now over 15,000 people who have died, and tens of thousands who have suffered injuries and side effects, and yet they still want to continue pushing this vaccine. The inept, corrupt Biden administration is trying to push this vaccine on everyone. And the nonsense of wearing masks, even on children. Utter nonsense that they are trying to make children wear masks in school. Now, I have an article here from a professor. His name is Randall Holcomb, and he's a faculty member at Florida State University. I want to read to you a very interesting article that he wrote and some portions of it. Okay, here's Randall Holcomb as he writes, "I am a faculty member at Florida State University, and for several months we have been told that the fall semester would be a return to normal campus operation. Last year, I taught in-person classes all year wearing a mask and was looking forward to teaching without one. The university's announced policy was that masks were recommended, but it was up to individuals to make that decision." Let me just stop right there. Again, this is at Florida State University, which is in Tallahassee, the capital in Florida. When he says that it would be individuals that make that decision. The United States of America was founded on and formed based on championing the rights of the individual. That is one of the factors which makes this nation so great. We champion the rights of the individual. In our Declaration of Independence, it begins with, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men," now we're talking individuals, "all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness or property," as it was originally written before it was changed. Life, liberty, property, the pursuit of happiness, those are individual rights. They belong to the individual. Note when I was quoting the Declaration of Independence, I said certain inalienable rights. That means that our rights can be defined. Do you know where your other inalienable rights are? The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, those state specifically and succinctly what your individual rights are. And so we champion the rights of the individual, the right to freedom of speech, that's an individual right, the right to bear arms, that's an individual right, the right to petition your government for redress of grievances, that's an individual right. Those on the left, instead of championing the rights of the individual, try to put you in groups. And they try to put you in groups that are victims, that have grievances, that they're aggrieved because they are not being treated as well as some other group, which is utter nonsense. You have to look at each individual, and as an individual, you determine your own destiny, including whether or not you are going to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That is an individual decision. No one else can make that decision for you. And I will go on to say this. You might as well get used to championing and being an individual who will determine your own destiny. Because one day, when you stand before the living God, it's going to be you as an individual. It's going to be you and God looking at each other face to face, eye to eye. It is not God looking at you and looking behind you to see which group is with you. No, he is going to ask you when he looks you directly in the eye, did you accept my son Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You say yes. He will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my kingdom. But if your answer is no, woe unto you. I feel sorry for you, because if your answer is no, it is going to mean then that you are going to be cast from his sight. You will be cast into hell, and you will not be able to appeal anything. It is final. Ladies and gentlemen, that is sobering. That is something that you must look at, and you must look at with the desire to not want to be cast out of God's sight into eternal, forever torment, that instead you want to be in his presence in paradise. Okay, back to the article, where it was up to individuals to make that decision of whether or not to wear a mask. Now, that is in keeping with Governor Ron DeSantis' executive order that bans mask mandates, even though we have a number of really stupid counties right now who are trying to buck that mandate and make children wear masks in school, even though there is no scientific evidence. Get that, zero scientific evidence that it does anything to benefit that child wearing that mask. Okay, let's get back to the article. This is Professor Randall Holcomb. My decision was not to wear one. That is a mask. He says, I'm vaccinated, healthy, and willing to take that risk. I'm aware of the arguments that I may increase the risk of others, who in this case are all college students. Dr. Holcomb goes on to write, I am a senior citizen, so presumably more at risk than my students. Yesterday, I received an email signed by four high FSU officials, including outgoing President John Thrasher. Among other things, it says in bold type, and I'm reading, we expect everyone to wear a face mask covering at all times when inside any FSU facility, even if you are vaccinated. My question is, should I wear a mask? Okay, an interesting thing about the email, this is Dr. Holcomb writing again, an interesting thing about the email is its authoritarian tone. It also expects others' actions, including the expectation that everyone gets vaccinated. It's not actually a mandate, because that would directly violate the governor's executive order, but it's interesting that the message would be written in such an authoritarian tone when that message itself is anti-authoritarian by resisting the governor's policy of letting individuals decide for themselves. In other words, it's the same thing that the school boards are doing in Broward County and in Leon County, where they are saying, we have the authority to tell you to wear a mask, but we are not going to accept the authority who has legitimate authority, and that is the governor and the Secretary of Education, Richard Corcoran, to say that masks will not be worn. We are not going to abide by that authority, but you will abide by mine. Now, that doesn't even make sense, does it? That just shows you the thinking of the left, how convoluted it is. Okay, now, back to what Randall Holcomb was writing. Some will be tempted to say, I should follow the science, typically followed by a statement that the science is to wear a mask. But this is not a question for science. It is a public policy question. Science can provide information about the consequences of various actions, but is insufficient to determine public policy. He is right on target with that. First of all, science is showing that you don't have to wear the mask, but science does not tell you what public policy is going to be. It is up to the individual to decide that. Okay, back to the article that Professor Holcomb wrote. For example, science can tell us that driving faster is more likely to result in accidents, serious injury, and death. But science cannot determine what is the optimal speed limit. Similarly, optimal policy to respond to COVID is not a question for science, even though science can provide information about the consequences of various policies. The policy of the state of Florida is that whether to wear a mask is my personal choice. That is exactly right. Thank goodness for Governor DeSantis, who does champion the rights of the individual. The policy of the state of Florida, I'm repeating, is that whether to wear a mask is my personal choice. And then the article goes on to say, I work at a state university that is actively opposing the policy of those above them in the hierarchy of state government. Should I yield to these anti-authoritarians and wear a mask? He asked. Dr. Holcomb goes on to say, it is my choice, my individual choice, and I will decide whether or not I am going to abide by these anti-authoritarians who think they have the authority to tell me to wear a mask. No, ladies and gentlemen, you have the right to decide on your own if you are going to wear a mask. So remember, do not take your eye off the ball. When it comes to what is going on in our nation right now, do not look at this whole COVID thing. Do not look at what's going on in Afghanistan. What is so important is that we keep our eye on the results of that election which took place. Ladies and gentlemen, we're coming up on a hard break. Don't change your dial. Right after the break, we're going to be back. I have more things to share with you, and I look forward to your calls. The call-in number is 904-831-0917. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene Youngblood, former State House Representative. Again, come back with us right after the break with your calls, 904-831-0917.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.